Oh, ones that have gone forth to this point. Right now, we're going to take 2 minutes of Agape Fellowship.
You all and you all, can we all say praise the Lord? It has gone by anything for you. If you have a name, you all and you all, can we all say praise the Lord? It has gone by anything for you. If you have a name, can you say praise the Lord? So I'm smart enough to know it's time for me to decrease and let the Lord use a guest pastor to increase. Right? So I'm smart enough to know we got a doctor in the house. Can we say doctor? We got a doctor in the house. And he said, no, I came to listen. I said, you know, the patients don't sit down. The patients don't try to instruct the doctor, right? So what we do, we got doctors in the house. Right? We get a doctor on the floor. Can we all stand up? Hallelujah. Come on, can we all?
I want to hear them, but I don't want to get in the way of what they're going to say. And I know him. And so I was hesitating, but my daughter convinced me that we ought to be here today. So we thank God for everything. Just thank God for this blessing. It's a true blessing. When one is blessed, we're all blessed. Amen. When one is blessed, we're all blessed. And the God is blessed. The whole body of Christ is blessed. We thank God for this, and we thank God for seeing God's work and seeing you all work hard. I guess I should, since he asked me to preach, I did it. And I like your theme, because it's going to match what we're going to preach. Is that all right with everybody? Amen. So you can just lift your mind. Praise the Lord, how are you doing? Yeah. Can you just leave that up there? That'll be great. We're going to actually turn to Hebrews 11, and we'll use that, your theme, as our subtopic. Amen. Believing God against all odds. Against all odds. If you turn to Hebrews 11, we all are familiar with the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 11. Thank God for changing the weather pattern. Amen. I'm really impacted negatively by the weather. I don't think except I always tell my daughter if you have to get out there and plow and shovel your car off, it can be taxing. And so we have to appreciate everybody. Some people park in garages and they don't ever have to clear out their car. So sometimes when it snows, it doesn't bother folks who have garages as much as folks that don't have garages. Amen. And so we try to understand where everybody's coming from. And we have, praise the Lord, my good friend. God bless you. Good to see you today. Hebrews 11 chapter. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, if you all have the convention of standing up during the word, please stand up. I will tell you, don't stand up all the time, but I stay in the Bible the whole time. You'll be standing up the whole message, so you don't want to do that. But just for these maybe first four scriptures, is that all right, everybody? Yeah. And you all. So now and then in Hebrews 6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. And then we want to skip down to verse 33, or maybe 32. And then the Bible says, what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and of Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, wax valiant in fight, turn to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, and yanked over bronze and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to use for a subject the impact of faith. The impact for faith, and to go along with your theme, we want to use your theme as a subtopic. Amen. Which is believing God against it. I want to talk about the impact of faith. Faith changes things. Faith changes your disposition. It changes your attitude. It changes the way you approach life. It changes the way you approach decisions. It changes how you get up in the morning. It changes how you go to bed at night. And so, and the Lord said in verse 6, he said, now I want you to understand, without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. And what he wanted us to understand that it's impossible to please him, in part because the Bible said that when we were saved, the Lord gave us a measure of faith. He gave every person a measure of faith. Now, your measure is not my measure, and my measure is not your measure, but he gave all of us a measure of faith. And so in order for you to get to a point where you have no faith, you would have had to have gone backwards. Everybody understand what I'm saying? So the reason why God is not happy when we have no faith is because in order to have no faith, you had to go backwards from the starting line, from where he started you. He started you with some faith, some degree of faith. When you got saved, you had faith. He gave it to you. That's how good it is. Amen. He gave me faith. I didn't have to do anything for it. He just gave it to me. He said, that's your measure. That's your, they gave us a measure of gift, but today we talk about the faith. He gave you a measure of faith when you got saved for you to operate in your salvation, for you to operate in your life. And so the Bible says he is not happy with us. He is not pleased with us. He does not find it acceptable for us to go backwards rather than go forwards. The Lord never wants to see his people go back to a place he has brought you from. He always wants to see you going forward. Now, sometimes he may be concerned with the speed that you're moving, but he never wants to see you go backward, because he brought you this far not to leave you, and he brought you this far to bring you even further in the future. And so we have to do everything we can to fight the good fight of faith, that we might stand on the faith that God has established in us, and then we can build upon that faith. The Bible says faith comes by the hearing of the word of God. Amen. And we've got to hear the word. Not only do we have to hear it, but we have to believe the word, and then we can begin to see our faith have impact. 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 Now, what is impact? Impact means that it causes change. It's a difference. Something has impact when it changes the substance. And let me go back to this whole idea of substance and evidence. The Bible says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and for the evidence of things not seen. But then he says in verse 6, in that latter clause, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, what he's saying is that he wants us to understand that when I come to God, every time I pray, I've got to recognize that he is sovereign. When you pray, you've got to recognize that you are praying to the sovereign God. It's not like going to your mother. It's not like going to your father. It's not like going to your brother or your sister. He is the sovereign God. He is sovereign over everything in this life. He is sovereign over every person who you deal with. Somebody said, well, is God sovereign over my landlord? God is sovereign over your landlord. God is sovereign over wherever you bought your car. He's sovereign over the banker. He's sovereign over the CEO. He's a sovereign God. And so he said, what I need you to do when you come and pray, I need you to understand comfortable. It's not just about whether I'm crying or not. It's about whether I can be justified or not. It can be whether or not he's going to be glorified. He operates on principle. He doesn't just operate on compassion. So when I go to him, I've got to recognize I'm praying to the sovereign God. I don't have to limit my prayer based on Pastor Kemp. I don't have to limit my prayer based on Minister Son. I don't have to change the tone of my prayer based on who's around me. The Bible says the Lord looks at the intent of the heart. The Bible says the word is the discerner of the intent and the thoughts of the heart. And so right before I go to God, God is already examining my heart. Listen, if you don't say a word, he already knows what you're praying for. If you just get down there on your knees, the Bible says before you ask, I know what you have need of. I know what you're doing. The Bible says sometimes when you can't get the word out, the Spirit makes a moaning and groaning. What's going down on the inside? And so you got to understand that when you go to the sovereign God, you're not just going to go asking him for something, because the first thing you're going to have to do is acknowledge who he is. Glory. They said, now you got to believe who he is. And when you believe who he is, you can't get to his throne without telling thank you. You can't get to his throne without saying hallelujah. I don't care if somebody's on their deathbed. When I go to the throne, I gotta start off by saying hallelujah. I gotta start off by saying thank you, Jesus. I don't care if there's a crisis, if there's an emergency, if I'm eating right away, as soon as I look up, I gotta say glory, glory to the highest. Because he's God all by himself. Beside him, there is none. And you gotta believe who he is. And once I establish that he's sovereign, and then I know because he's sovereign, that when I ask him for something, if he doesn't do it, it's not because he's not able to do it.
But I'm only gonna give you the good stuff. I'm only gonna give you the best stuff.
But he said, I got some faith. You see what I'm saying? No matter how weak you are, he said, I got some faith. Enemy, you've been knocking me down, but I still got faith. I still believe God. I still know who he is. I still believe. Sometimes they were destitute, and sometimes they were afflicted, and sometimes they were tormented. Now what does that mean? I mean, when you begin to have faith, the enemy is going to isolate you. The enemy is going to try to come against you. Because you got to remember, your faith empowers somebody else. Your faith inspires somebody else. So the enemy doesn't want you to have faith. And so as soon as he sees your faith begin to increase, he's going to come against you at all kinds of ways, people, places, and things. You got to understand that's the attack of the enemy. Because you're increasing your faith now. You're hearing. Unchallenged faith is not yet faith. faith isn't faith until it's been challenged. Right? Because I can say I believe God all the time, but I don't know whether I believe. He knows. But I don't know whether I believe him until it gets challenged. And then you come back with a testimony. See, what we read about this scripture is challenge faith. They're not talking about stuff that they think they're going to do later. See, sometimes we're just saying we talk about stuff we're going to do in the future.
Yes, sir.
This is not future stuff. This is stuff that they went through.
Yeah.
This was faith that was challenged. And after you withstand the challenge, you can stand up and say, I have faith. I believe God. I trust in God. Paul said, I fought a good fight. Paul said, Caesar, don't worry. God is sovereign. And under Caesar, he respected Caesar, but he wasn't afraid of him. See, when you begin to have faith, fear goes out of the door. Fear goes out of the door. The more you increase your faith, you don't live by fear. The devil wants us to live in fear. Because when you live in fear, you make bad decisions. You make impulsive decisions. Everybody know what we mean by impulsive? You make decisions that you don't think out. Fear just drives you to do. Fear really does. It keeps people on the run. Right? Fear keeps people on the run. Just ask Elijah. He was on the run from Jezebel. But the Lord went and talked to Elijah. He said, remember, Elijah, there be more with you than be with them. The devil tried to fear Jehoshaphat. And the prophet came to Jehoshaphat and said, listen, Jehoshaphat, they got a lot of people, but they come with armor and flesh. And we come in the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is sovereign. So as long as you're in the name of the Lord, it doesn't matter how many folks they got, you got the name of the Lord. When you have faith, you begin to use the name of Jesus. Because that's where the power is. That's where the anointing is. That's where the deliverance is. It doesn't matter how many people come in flesh, you want to use the name of Jesus. And when you use the name of Jesus, you can conquer all.